Jazz. There is no doubt that the single most important contribution to the revitalization of improv in Western music in the 20th century is jazz. It reminded musicians that performing music and creating music are not necessarily separate activities, and that, at its best, instrumental improv can achieve the highest levels of musical expression. Ronnie Scott says, "There are as many attitudes and conceptions of and manners of improvisation and ways of working toward improvisation as there are people. Oscar Peterson, for instance, who's a very, very polished, technically immaculate performer, trots out these fantastic things which he has perfected and is really, and makes for a really remarkable performance. Really remarkable performance. Whereas Sonny Rollins could go on one night and maybe it's disappointing, and another night he'll just take your breath away by this kind of imagination and so forth. And it would be different every night with Rollins. One becomes unconscious of playing, you know. It becomes as if something else has taken over and you're just the intermediary between whatever else and the instrument. And everything you try seems to come off, or at least if it doesn't come off, it doesn't seem to matter very much. It's still a certain kind of feeling that you're aiming for, or unconsciously aiming for, and when this happens, inspiration, duende, whatever you like to call it, a happy conjunction of conditions and events and middle attitudes, it feels good, and it will feel like I should be what I am kind of thing. One becomes much happier to sound like oneself rather than sounding like one of the recognized great players. In jazz, a huge proportion of the music played is almost totally derivative, which stems from practices which are an intrinsic part of it. There are three stages: choosing a master, absorbing his skills through practical imitation, and then developing an individual style and attitude from that foundation. And sometimes this last third stage is omitted completely. The pressure to conform, to be no more than a good imitator, is considerable. The second danger is the search for authenticity. When a balance between these two forces, a regard for authenticity and the intrinsically explorative nature of improvisation, is disturbed, the effect is to drag the musician one way or the other, to take it in purely innovative directions, or to lead it into unconscious self-parody. Something undeniably went wrong with the balance of jazz, and it became dependent on to preserve a minute body of innovators. Steve Lacey says, "I was mainly concerned to work with the radical people, but I couldn't ignore the non-radical elements. For me, playing with the accepted people never worked out, simply because they knew all the patterns, and I didn't. Why should I want to learn those trite patterns? You know, when Bud Powell made them 15 years earlier, they weren't patterns, but when somebody analyzed them and put them into a system, it became a school, and many players joined it, but by the time I came to it, I saw through it. The thrill was gone. Jazz got so that it wasn't improvised anymore. Cecil Taylor in the early 50s was as free as anything you could hear, but it was not done in a free way. It was very built up and systematic, but with a new ear and new values. On the other hand, there were all the academic players, the hard boppers, the blue note people, the prestige people, and they were doing stuff which had slight progressive tendencies in it. But when Ornette hit the scene, that was the end of the theories. He destroyed the theories. I remember at that time he said very carefully, well, you just have a certain amount of space and you put what you want in it. And that was a revelation. And listening to him every night with Don Cherry, it really spread a thirst for more freedom. It was a process that was partly playing tunes and finally getting to the point where it didn't seem to be important and it didn't do anything for you to play the tunes. So you just dropped the tunes and you just played, and it happened in gradual stages. A byproduct of jazz's retreat into academicism was one of factionalism, which often criticized those who were exploring without regard to tradition, like Anthony Braxton and Cecil Taylor. A musician who has always valued independence and freedom, the commitment to jazz through improvisation remains unchanged.